This is Jed Disler, and welcome to The Piano Maven, your friendly podcast guide to piano recordings. You can subscribe to The Piano Maven podcast through my Substack page by clicking on the link in the episode description. Paid subscribers get bonuses such as Piano Maven Zoom meetings, where we share listening experiences, share our passions and obsessions, and talk about different topics, and meet special guests. So please consider subscribing to help us reach further into the piano community and to keep this podcast in production. Let's talk about live recordings. I've always had an ambivalent attitude toward the unauthorized recordings where enthusiasts will sneak recording equipment into a concert without permission or without the performer's knowledge. Yet, you have to admit that many extraordinary performances have been preserved this way, performances which otherwise would have vanished into thin air. My late friend Joseph Patrich recorded hundreds, maybe thousands of piano concerts this way, and he would happily pass on the recordings to other piano mavens. In fact, he'd pass them on to the pianists who played the concerts themselves if they wanted them. Quite a few pianists, in fact, were grateful that Joe was doing this because it would allow them to hear and evaluate their own performances. Of course, there were some pianists who were really annoyed that Joe was recording their concerts, but that's a whole other story. There have also been pianists who have made arrangements with the venues where they are playing to record their concerts specifically for these pianists' private use. I think the most notable example of this was Vladimir Horowitz, when he had arranged for the Carnegie Hall Corporation to record some of his recitals in the 1940s and early 1950s for his personal use. And some of these were officially released after the pianist's death. Simon Barrère made similar arrangements, or maybe it was his son, Boris Barrère, who made those arrangements. And that's why some of the Simon Barrère Carnegie Hall concerts from the 1940s were recorded. And George Bolet actually encouraged private tapers to sneak in their equipment and record his concerts, because I think he knew more than anyone that he himself played much better in front of audiences than in the studio. Certainly he was often much more inspired in concert than he was in front of a studio microphone. So I thought for this episode, we could take a major work like the Franz Liszt Sonata in B minor and discuss 9 live performances that stem from private recordings, some of which appeared in the so-called underground, and then some that started that way but eventually turned up on legitimate releases. And as you would expect, the sound quality is usually variable, but in most cases, it's pretty easy for the ear to make adjustments. Now, these 9 Liszt sonata recordings I'm going to talk about should not be your primary recordings simply for sonic reasons. And for those of you who are coming to the Liszt Sonata for the first time, you're going to want a combination of great performance and professional engineering. But once you've gotten to know this piece, then you have the work imprinted in your mind. And with that, it becomes easier to embrace these particular live recordings more readily, to get past sonic issues and performance inaccuracies and things like that. And this is a composition where performance is really everything. In order to bring out the virtuosic flair, as well as the thematic unity binding each continuous section, one has to think about this music in terms of being on stage and projecting it across the footlights. I think that's really the essential nature of the Liszt Sonata. So let's begin with the pianist Simon Barrère, who played the Liszt Sonata at Carnegie Hall on November 11th, 1947. This performance was first issued on the Remington label after the pianist's death in 1951. And it appeared on LP again in the mid-70s in the Vox Labels Historic series. And then it turned up on CD as part of the APR Labels series devoted to Simon Barrère's Carnegie Hall concerts that all survived in sound. This is truly personalized playing, sometimes even self-indulgent, but in a positive way, with all kinds of stretched out rubatos and filled in textures. This interpretation is very improvisatory, yet it somehow hangs together, and you really feel swept up in the moment as you listen. Not every pianist was able to convey a sense of playing in the present, but Simon Barrère definitely does. Although Claudio Arrau made what I consider to be one of the reference studio recordings of the Liszt Sonata, some of his live performances were even more incendiary and daring, and several of them have been released on CD. But one in particular stands out to me, and this one comes from a 1977 concert in Toronto that was issued on the Marston label on a release called Liszt Illuminated. Arrau is 74 years old at the time of this performance, but he sounds like a youngster. Just the fugetta itself and its unrelenting buildup, and the lyrical passages are stretched to their rhetorical limits in a way that probably Arrau would not have allowed himself to do in the studio. But these gestures never lapse into vulgarity, and it's a really compelling performance that I think you ought to hear. George Bolette, who I mentioned before, was another aristocratic interpreter of the Liszt Sonata, as his two studio recordings of the piece abundantly prove. But if you can get past the rather average fidelity in sonics of an audience recording made at his February 5th, 1972 recital in New York City's Alice Tully Hall, you're going to hear a more demonic and daring and poetic interpretation of the Liszt Sonata from George Bolette than in his recordings. And you don't even notice the brilliance and flexibility of his technique, because musically it's all of a piece, but he is on staggering form. And this Liszt Sonata performance was released on the AS Disc label on CD, if you can find it. As I said before, George Bolette was definitely a pianist who played totally differently in front of an audience than in front of studio microphones. Another wonderful Liszt Sonata from 1972 features a pianist primarily known as a teacher, but as a pianist, he could play just about anything. And I've spoken about this pianist on this podcast before, Howard Karp. He lived from 1929 until 2014. And when he retired from teaching in the year 2000, a two CD set was released containing some really fantastic live performances. And although he's more modern a Liszt interpreter, stylistically speaking, compared to Arrau and Bolette and Barrère, the sweep of his Liszt Sonata and the bigness of his conception and the generosity of sound and spirit all come through this performance. He really does take you on a journey. There's a wonderful live Liszt Sonata with Sviatoslav Richter. I think it's one of his most inspired performances surviving of this work. It was given at Carnegie Hall on May 18th, 1965, and that was just 1 week after Vladimir Horowitz made his historic return on May 9th. Now, this performance of the Liszt Sonata, I think, may even be more colorful and dramatic and luminous than some of Richter's other Liszt Sonata performances. The source recording for this performance, I suspect, comes from an audience tape. It first turned up on a bootleg LP, But then I remember that Philips released a recording of Richter playing the Liszt Sonata on its short-lived Legendary Classics reissue series, and the only information that Philips provided was that this Liszt Sonata was a live recording from Budapest in 1960. And I remember when I got hold of this CD years ago, immediately I became suspicious because simply the audience coughs and the quiet opening occurred in exactly the same place as that bootleg LP that I had of the 1965 Carnegie performance. It was identical to what I heard on the Philips CD. So I checked further, and indeed, this Philips CD had the 1965 Carnegie Hall performance, not a spurious 1960 Budapest performance. In fact, Richter never played the Liszt Sonata in 1960, so far as I know. And actually, some years later, the Polexa label issued this performance in what I understand is a slightly better transfer than on the Philips disc. But that Polexa CD has long been out of print, and you can find it for around $140 on Amazon.com. It's also been released on the Saint Laurent Studio label and on the Talents of Russia label. I haven't heard any of these transfers, so I only have in my collection that Philips disc, and I have the original bootleg LP, which I think sounds a little bit better, but I really can't report any further on which transfer of this Carnegie Hall Richter Liszt Sonata is the best one, but it is a performance that all piano mavens should hear. Now I'd like to talk about the Hungarian pianist Irene Marek. She lived from 1905 until 1986. I first discovered her through a remarkable all-Liszt LP recorded in the 1950s for the Draco label. And my late friend Alan Evans, whose name always pops up on this podcast, he turned me on to this disc, and I actually found a copy of it in the same junk shop where Alan found his copy of this disc. And being the piano archaeologist that he was, Alan went so far as to track Irene Marek down at her home in Independence, California, near Death Valley, where she had lived for years and where she gave concerts from her home, and she continued making recordings every now and then. She would record her practice sessions also, and she did not want these practice session tapes to circulate, so after her death, one of her close friends gave these tapes that she had preserved to Alan, and among these tapes was an uninterrupted run-through of the Liszt Sonata, recorded on July 24th, 1975. And it's a real performance. It's not note perfect, but it is a real living performance that's set out in shapely and colorful paragraphs. It's full of startling accentuations and beautiful transitions. There is so much to savor here, and you can tell that she is a seasoned Liszt interpreter, and I really enjoyed listening to this. For many years, a less than high fidelity recording made at a concert in France in 1973 circulated among several collectors who were devoted to the pianist on this performance, Cyprian Katsaris playing the Liszt Sonata. And I had heard about this recording for years from the pianist's friend Francis Romano, but I had never actually heard it until Cyprian Katsaris himself released it on his own Piano 21 label as part of a double album devoted to works of Liszt. Cyprian's performance is a throwback to the kind of old-school Liszt Sonata we get from Simon Barrère or in that old Alfred Cortot recording, perhaps. But the audacity of his conception and how Katsaris in his early 20s projects such confidence and as well as sincerity, you never question at all that the young Cyprian Katsaris expresses the courage of his convictions, as he still does to this day. And this is a Liszt sonata that's all of one piece, and it just begs for you to pay attention in every bar. Once you hear it, you'll never forget it. And, you know, you get used to the sound as you're listening to it. And I'm very happy that he did sanction its release, finally. There's also a marvelous live Liszt sonata performed by Terence Judd, recorded during the final rounds of the 1978 Tchaikovsky piano competition in Moscow, where this highly talented British pianist only placed fourth. But this is a Liszt sonata full of poise and drama and character in every moment. And who cares about the occasional dropped notes? I mean, this is a compelling performance. And it's a precious souvenir of a brilliant pianist who would take his own life in 1979, only months after his 22nd birthday. When you listen to playing on this level, one can only imagine what might have been, because there's no question that Terence Judd was a major talent, and he was pretty much fully formed, artistically speaking. However, if it had not been for at least one audience member who snuck a recording device into Carnegie Hall, we would not have one of the most exciting and dramatic and daring and poetic and characterful Liszt sonata performances in existence. And this features Vladimir Horowitz. Horowitz had started to bring back the Liszt sonata into his repertoire in 1976 when he played it at Powell Hall in St. Louis. And this performance, as well as the rehearsals, were recorded by RCA Victor for commercial release. And it was issued in 1977 in edited form in anticipation of Horowitz's Golden Jubilee season in 1978. And as you can tell in the St. Louis performance, both in the edited recording and in the unedited concert performance, he had not totally assimilated the work. I mean, there are wonderful, wonderful moments, of course, but there also are some hesitancies and some awkward phrasings that would sort themselves out in further performances. I don't think that Horowitz had played the Liszt sonata in public since 1949, so far as I know. And for a 73-year-old pianist to reacquire such demanding repertoire is no small task, even if he is Vladimir Horowitz. But as I said, during the 1977 and 78 season, Horowitz did perform the sonata more and more, and he gradually got it all back into his fingers and his spirit. So by the time of his March 1978 Carnegie Hall performances, everything was there. He played the Liszt sonata on March 12th at Carnegie Hall, the week before, but it is the March 19th performance that really catches fire. Now, I can understand why RCA Victor did not record the concert, for the simple reason that there already was Horowitz's new official recording on the market. But I only wish in retrospect that a professional recording had been made, because this March 19th, 1978 Liszt sonata is head and shoulders above either the edited 1976 Powell Hall recording or the unedited version that Sony BMG eventually released in a box set. And by the way, Joe Patrich, who I talked about earlier, worked very hard trying to remaster that Carnegie Hall March 19th audience tape to make it releasable, and he did a pretty good job of it, although in the end, it sonically didn't quite pass muster for Sony BMG to bring it out. Now, you can find various transfers of this performance floating around the internet, and I think it's pretty easy to listen past the sonic problems because Horowitz's personality still comes through. And it's precisely because of performances like this that hardcore piano mavens seek out live recordings, authorized or otherwise. And as I said earlier, even George Bolette encouraged live taping because he knew that studio recordings did not capture his artistry at its best. The only thing with this Horowitz March 19th performance is that some of the transfers that have been floating out there are not properly pitched. They're a little bit sharp, so you have to really do some deep research. So if you are a Liszt sonata aficionado, you might enjoy hunting down these 9 live and unedited performances featuring Simon Barrère, Claudio Arrau, George Bolette, Howard Karp, Sviatoslav Richter, Irene Marek, Cyprian Katsaris, Terence Judd, and Vladimir Horowitz. At a certain point, I should do a podcast episode where I talk about commercial recordings of the Liszt Sonata. Maybe I'll do 2 of them. How about an episode that's based on what the critical consensus has been for the Liszt Sonata on record? And then I'll do an episode about worthy Liszt Sonata commercial recordings by pianists who may be lesser known, yet who still gave us marvelous interpretations that all piano mavens should try to hear. This is Jed Disler, and you've been listening to The Piano Maven, your friendly podcast guide to piano recordings. Thank you so much for being with me, and I look forward to us being together for the next episode. Take good care.